to buy Ambrose some time.
Great counter by Dean Ambrose.
The WWE World Champion, AJ Styles.
Dean Ambrose just lost his chance to be the number one contender.
Hi, how you doing?
Just embarrassed right now. I'm sorry.
What happened out there?
You know, Dean Ambrose, he's made me a household name these past couple of weeks. He's really helped me out. My personal life has changed forever because of him. And for me to be so selfish and just accidentally get him disqualified, not thinking, I'm just so embarrassed. And I know I'll probably never be allowed on SmackDown Live again, Daniel. And I'm so sorry, and I don't even deserve to be here, I think.
Can I tell you a little story?
You're a jerk.
I know.
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 You're a jerk.
No boy.
You're a jerk. 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 Jerk. Jerk.
Jerk.
Jerk. Jerk. Jerk.
Jerk.
Jerk. Jerk. Jerk.
Jerk.
Jerk. Jerk. Jerk.
Jerk. I'm so cocky with it. Got my eyes shut, closed like Rocky hit it. Got your girl on my swag, she loving him jerking so.
D Will, did you watch Raw last night?
I did not.
God, and you should just be thanking the heavens that you did not watch that horrible atrocity of a wrestling.
I was
program.
Thinking about it. Lesnar was on there, correct? I was thinking about watching it.
But get this.
Yeah,
get
but
this,
that was
D-Will.
The worst Lesnar demon promo ever.
It was
really?
It was by far the worst Paul Heyman promo I have ever seen in my 30 years on this earth. I honestly think if I would have stood outside a bathroom stall and listened to Paul Heyman take a shit, it would have been better than that promo he cut on Monday night.
that's impossible. I almost don't believe you because Paul Heyman is amazing at everything he does.
I'm telling you, man. And then so now there was rumors that came out earlier today that Vince McMahon was pissed off that the crowd didn't start chanting Goldberg, that instead they were booing him, you know, because Brock's from Minnesota, and he cut the promo in half. And I'm just thinking, I can't believe that's only half of what they had. Like, I'm glad that they pulled it because it was terrible, D-Will. JB, please back me here. Tell them how bad it was.
It was so horrible. I was really shocked because I thought that would be the highlight of Raw, you know, based on the way the show was going. And oh my God, it was just disgusting. Worst Heyman promo I've ever seen.
What I want to know is, did they really think that they were, that Goldberg was going to get cheers over Lesnar in Minnesota?
Exactly.
Did they really think that?
Exactly. So there are two things in my life that I thought I would never see. And one of them I saw Monday. But the one of them is that in my all the years on this earth, I have never not once heard a bad Bun B verse on a song ever, and I probably never will. And I never thought I would hear a Paul Heyman promo that I just literally was begging for him to be off my TV. Like, those are two things I never thought I would be able to say both of them happened. And God damn it, now if Bun B comes out with a song and he has a weak verse, I'm just done. I'm done. I'm throwing it in. I'm not. Fuck it. I'm done.
End of the world's coming soon, so look out for his next album.
All right, man. Let's get into this show. Let's go ahead and do the intro.
Well, it's Bun B, bitch, and I'm the king of moving chickens. Got them finger lickings. Sticking niggas that be tricking. You need a swift kicking. Yo ass is right for the picking. Now as my pocket sticking. I'm deep thinking nickel slicking. You sick when I be clicking. Now take a look at the bigger nigga. My liquor swigger. Play a hater, ditch digger. Figure my hair trigger. Give a hot one to your liver. You shiver, shake, and quiver. I'm frivolous if a nigga get wetter than a river. For what it's worth, it's the birth of some niggas doing dirt. Fuck a first snatching off the skirt. Make the pussy hurt. Mr. Master, hit the switcher faster. Then you keep a blister bastard. Fuck your sister pastor. Get the elbows for sale. Yo, brother, bet I have my mail, ho. Before I catch a murder case and go to jail. Oh, hell no. Time to bail.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Wrestling World Podcast Network, and you have your podcast champions here, and that is JB, the prodigal one. JB, tell the people what's going on.
Not much. Just want to say what's up to all the listeners out there. Ready to talk some SmackDown.
And then you have someone who's been missing for a few weeks as he took his vacation, the return of Misery himself, Mr. Misery Williams. D. Will, what's happening?
It's Misery Williams in the house. I'm back from hiatus. And yeah, I actually was just on vacation these past 2 weeks. Like, literally, I took a vacation from work and I feel pretty good. I'm rejuvenated. But I'm not ready to go back to work yet.
Well, thank God you didn't watch Raw, because that would have killed all rejuvenation in your body. But nonetheless, let's get on to talking about a quality wrestling show, and that is SmackDown Live. I continue to just be impressed with how good. I think this week was a little bit weaker than the few previous weeks, but it was still a very solid show overall. We really haven't talked much about our ideas of SmackDown. You know, the pre-show here was mainly just bashing Raw and, you know, doing some stuff with our website. But SmackDown opens up today with Ambrose and James Ellsworth promo backstage. I don't know about you guys, but I continue just to be impressed, and I love seeing Ellsworth on my screen. He's quickly becoming someone who I do not want to see leave SmackDown Live at all. Like, I hope they find a way to keep him around for quite a while. D-Will, I'm going to let you go first on this one, mainly because you've been gone for the whole rise of James Ellsworth on SmackDown. But how do you feel? Just go ahead, take this one away. Just overall, the last couple of weeks, his title match this week. How do you feel about James Ellsworth, D-Will?
I may have been gone, but I was well with them for the ride. I was at the SmackDown taping, 2 weeks ago when James Ellsworth faced AJ Styles the first time. And oh man, was that crowd hot for him. We all wanted him to win. He got the victory. We were all happy. I'm loving me some James Ellsworth right now. The thing is with James Ellsworth, they're giving him character. They're giving him story. And that's something that we don't see on Raw with anybody. They're doing a great job with James, and I'm very happy for him. Imagine somebody looking like that getting a WWE championship match. I just hope they sign him, and I hope he's with us for a very long time. Maybe he'll get a Cruiserweight championship run one day.
Huh. Yeah, I can agree with you, JB. Thoughts on this week?
Yeah, I absolutely have to agree with you guys. James Ellsworth continues to be one of the guys I'm high on. I mean, the kid is just entertaining. Whether it's he's really good or he's really good at being really bad, whatever it is, he's just entertaining and fun to watch. I mean, every segment he was on tonight, including talking smack, I had a smile on my face. He's just good TV right now, and WWE is doing the smart thing by, you know, taking this, you know, and milking it, which is what they should do. So I think he's going to continue to get exposure, and you know, they're going to see how long they can run with this.
Yeah, and the thing with James Ellsworth is that, honestly, they haven't really done much with him as far as, like, character work to where he can get stale. I mean, really, you can continually put him in different situations and keep him fresh for quite a while, in my opinion. So they have a good opportunity to really do more things with Ellsworth, and I hope that does continue. The only thing that really concerns me now is, and we'll get into it towards the end of the show, is what they're going to do with him after what happened in the main event tonight. But like I said, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Next, we get Bray making his way to the ring for apparently what was a new no DQ match versus Kane. I didn't know that this was going to be no DQ going forward. We get a pretty solid match between the two. Eventually, Luke Harper comes out and attacks Kane, which then brings out Randy Orton as well. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, was this then made into a tag team match?
No.
I don't know. For some reason, I don't know why I thought that. But, and then the ending here came with Randy Orton turning on Kane, if you want to call it that, and giving Kane the RKO as Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper both look like, what the fuck is Randy Orton doing? Later on in the show, we get Randy Orton saying, if you can't beat them, join them. So it was speculated that maybe he is joining the Wyatts. JB, take this one away. How do you feel about this whole turn with Orton and the swerve here and where it's going and just this whole storyline? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a long thing. I think what it's going to culminate in is Randy Orton actually trying to get one up on Bray Wyatt and, you know, trying to infiltrate their little madness. So I think it's just going to be a short thing. But I have to say, I love the shock value of what we saw because, I'm watching all this all take place. I'm watching Randy Orton come down, and just the way it was set up, because you can kind of tell when some crazy shit like that's about to happen. Just the way Kane positioned himself and Randy Orton positioned himself. And my wife was there, and I kept on saying, oh, we're about to see a Kane heel turn right now. Kane's about to choke slam Randy Orton. So I was completely shocked when it was the other way around and Randy Orton RKO'd, Kane. I was thinking it's going to be the opposite way. So it was a good shock value there. But I think it's going to all culminate into Randy Orton eventually just attacking Bray Wyatt and, saying, like, look, I found a way in and I infiltrated the Wyatt family and, just playing more mind games with him. I don't see Randy Orton as a Wyatt family member long term. I think this is just a short term thing for their current feud.
D-Will?
I agree 100% with everything he said, including the – I'm thinking Kane's going to turn too. Kane's setting up a chokeslam, Randy Orton's setting up an RKO. They both can't hit the move at the same time. I'm thinking Kane's going to chokeslam Orton. And I was very pleasantly surprised to see Randy Orton turn on Kane. I was very happy about that. And I agree, this is going to be short-term. Randy Orton's not going to be tagged with Bray Wyatt in the near future or the far future. This is just kind of what Daniel Bryan did when he joined the Wyatt family a couple years ago. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer kind of thing. And Kane was just a scapegoat. He just needed Kane to be his pawn. And Kane will try to get his revenge later on, but it won't work out.
Yeah, and the thing here is I think I agree with both you guys. I think Randy Orton is going to use this maybe as a way to get Luke Harper out of the picture and have Wyatt one-on-one. I really don't know, but we'll see. And like you guys said, this is why I love SmackDown so much, because they take what you expect and completely turn it and do it in a different way. Raw would just completely just televise it, and we'd probably be able to guest book Raw without even watching the show. SmackDown, it's a little more nuanced to it. And this whole RKO and Kane thing, like you said, I expected Kane to chokeslam Randy Orton, and that's not what happened, and I'm glad that that's not what happened. I hope SmackDown can keep that up. This feud, JB, I told you, I think it was a couple weeks ago, if not last week, that it was kind of starting to get to the point to where I didn't want to see it anymore. This now has me a little more engaged. It's going to be interesting to see how they pick up on the threads next week between these two.
Absolutely agree with you 100%. I kept on saying, on the last podcast that, it's not – I'm not 100% into the feud, the storyline, especially last week with the coffin thing was just okay. This totally got me 100% invested into this feud now. And now, like any good, not even wrestling show, but any good television show, episodic show is supposed to do, it keeps me wanting for more. Now, I want to watch SmackDown next week because I want to see where the hell this goes.
Exactly.
I hate to agree again, but... Yeah, during the match, I was kind of like, I don't care. Until we got the swerve at the end. So And how great is it that we got a no disqualification match on SmackDown, and it started off the show? I think that's a tremendous change of pace. I loved it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was absolutely great, especially to not have a in-the-ring talking segment to start the show. But nonetheless, we move on from this to backstage with AJ Styles, who's being interviewed. And he says that Ellsworth couldn't lace his boots. And he also says that Ambrose had a little fun at his expense, but Ambrose is going to be carried out tonight. And if he sees Ellsworth, he's going to be missing more of his chin. I love that line. The whole missing more of his chin line I thought was just gold. AJ's gotten so much better on the mic as me and you talked about last week, JB. But D, Will, how'd you feel about this backstage segment with AJ?
Man, AJ Styles is just hilarious. He's that funny heel that you want to boo. You laugh at what he says, but at the end of the day, you're still going to boo him. And I think that's just tremendous progress from what we've seen in January when he debuted. This heel turn has done wonders for his career, and he's gained a new fan in me. So, Jay?
What?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree again.
Go ahead,
this is
Jay.
This has just been a total I agree session with the three of us, which is usually not common. But I do agree with both of you guys. You know, AJ, again, has been doing a phenomenal job on the mic. Even though this was a very short segment, it was still good. It was funny. It was interesting. And again, anything including Ellsworth at this point is just, you know, gold. So, yeah, I enjoyed the segment. And I enjoyed that line about the chin as well.
That and then, you know, when we didn't mention it last week, which we should have, JB, but when he calls his super kick no chin music, like, that is just fucking that's just gold, man. Like,
no chin music.
Oh man, that is just man, that's just gold.
That's my first time hearing that.
Yeah, no chin music.
Yeah, no chin music, man. That's just
well, and man, that moved. The band does not tune up.
Oh man! Next, we get Becky Lynch being interviewed by Renee Young, and of course, this brings out Alexa Bliss, Alexa Bliss is killing it. I don't care what anybody says. Alexa Bliss has just been killing this the whole time. They go back and forth on the mic. I think both women were solid on the mic. Lynch was a little awkward, like she tends to be from time to time. I love the whole Dumbo line that Lynch used, calling Alexa Bliss Dumbo. And then, you know, Alexa says that Lynch is a world-class con artist, but that she isn't fooled. And, you know, she says that Lynch will realize that her pathetic life means nothing and suggests that Lynch should hold over the women's championship right now. Please, please, for the love of God, I know we've been agreeing this whole show. This may not be just some of the best podcasting for people to look and hear me and D-Will continue to argue. But D-Will, please tell me that you enjoy Alexa Bliss here on the mic as well.
I may not be as high as everybody else is, but I am enjoying her. I think she needs to be casted in Mean Girls 3 or 4 or whatever series they're on. Because she's just a great bitch. She reminds you of that girl in high school or middle school that she's pretty and you want, but she's just a cunt and you just dislike her. So she's doing a tremendous job as a heel, and I just wish I could get behind Becky Lynch better. I don't think Becky Lynch is the right face to compliment how bad Alexa Bliss is. So I can't wait for an Alexa Bliss Nikki Bella feud.
Yeah, that absolutely will be going. And JB, before we get to your thoughts on her, I do want to mention that the two brawled for a while. Alexa Bliss ended up getting the upper hand after DDT and then spray painted Becky Lynch's back yellow. I didn't want to forget to mention that. So, JB, your thoughts on this segment and then also the fact that Alexa Bliss walks away with the upper hand.
Yeah, watching this whole segment made me kind of sad a little bit, and let me tell you why. Every week that goes by, I get higher and higher on Alexa Bliss, and it sucks knowing that this feud is not going to end with her having the title. I know she's going to get her day eventually, but it's obviously not going to be now, which makes me a little bit sad because I want to see her like front and center the entire time now. I just love her character. I say week in and week out, she gets better and better, improving on the mic. All the heelish things she does, even in, you know, the little small things she does, like at the end of the promo when Becky was on the floor, she just like went next to her and kind of just like rubbed her feet on the canvas as if she was just like, you know, cleaning out her boots on the canvas. That just small stuff like that. And then the part at the end with the yellow spray paint, you know, running down her back, that was just also great. I think Becky Lynch is probably gonna get pissed off in real life, because I don't know if Alexa Bliss realized or not, but she actually sprayed a little bit on her on Becky's hair. So I hope it's easily removed. But it was a really good segment, and once again, I think Alexa was the highlight of the segment, which is, you know, odd considering Becky's the champ. But for the last couple of segments, Alexa's been really stepping her game up.
Yeah. I mean, this whole, you know, run at the title for Alexa has just been great for her and her character. And when you look and see just how well she's been done since she got drafted to the main roster, I mean, it's just a good testament to what can be done when you actually play into someone's character, and someone's also comfortable with the character they do. She seems very comfortable in that, like D. Will said, that mean girl character. And for all intents and purposes, everything that I've seen of her outside of wrestling and not in kayfabe, she seems like a very sweet person. So the fact that she's, you know, playing this character so well is just a testament to how good of an actress she is. Well, in this arena, I should say, in the wrestling industry. And so I hope she does win the title. Just personally, I don't think that she will if I had to pick it, but I do hope that she does, because I honestly think she would be a better champion right now. She would be a better heel champion than Lynch is a face champion, in my opinion. But, you know, what the fuck do I know? I don't get to book this shit. I guarantee I can book better Raws, though. Next, though, we get the Hype Bros. D. Will,
are you ready? Before we move on to the Hype Bros, I just want to ask you guys a question. Are you guys familiar with Alexa Bliss's work in NXT?
I am.
A little bit. Not 100%.
Is she a good wrestler?
Yeah. She's a very solid wrestler. She has things that she needs to work on. I wouldn't say she's bad in any stretch. When you look, what can I compare it to? So if you compare her to Carmella, because they both came up at the same time, both in NXT around the same time, Becky Lynch is more solid all the way around to me. Carmella, she can be good in the ring, but if I had to trust either one of the women to put on a 4-5-star match, which I don't think either one of them could hit a 5-star match, but if I had to pick one of them and say, hey, I need you to go out there and give me a 5-star match, Alexa would be my pick.
Alexa, if you say she's a good wrestler right now, and I believe you, because I haven't really seen much of her work on SmackDowns. I've just seen little bits and pieces here and there. She's going to be Trish Stratus level of diva, and that's high praise. So I think she's got a very bright future ahead of her. Just imagine if there wasn't this brand split, we could have Alexa Bliss going up against Sasha Banks or Dana Brooke. I think this brand split messed everything up.
I don't necessarily agree with that statement, because if there was no brand split, would Alexa Bliss even be getting FaceTime right now?
Well, the thing is that Dana Brooke was on the main roster before Alexa Bliss. So I would like to think that she would eventually found her way up there, because she's definitely miles above Dana Brooke. But I mean, definitely, we probably wouldn't be getting her this early if it wasn't for the brand split. So I'm glad. And I mean, the brand split has done a lot for, you know, some of the NXT call-ups. I like to think that most of them have honestly not been handled well. But Alexa, Bayley, Finn, before he got hurt, have definitely been the ones that have been handled the best, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole reason for the brand split, is to give the guys, a lot of the guys who weren't getting a lot of FaceTime, give them more of a push. Do you really think Heath Slater would be, although it's just a short-term thing, I don't think Heath Slater would be part of a tag team championship run right now if it was just the way it was before. But the brand split allows him to, you know, that opportunity. And I think a lot of opportunity to a lot of other people to give them more FaceTime.
Well, yeah, and that's what can be said about how SmackDown uses their roster better. Yes, they have one less hour a week, but look at what SmackDown has done using the Hype Bros, using Alexa Bliss, using Naomi, whereas Raw is using the Shining Stars, Titus, and they're using them horribly. And I'm sorry, I'm going into trauma just thinking about Raw. But every time I see Titus and his big ass teeth on my TV, and the whole make it a win thing, like it's just I'm tired of it. Like I can't do it. I can't do it anymore.
So you're not part of the dog pound or whatever the hell they call it?
No. The only thing that I would be part of a dog pound if it means putting Titus O'Neil actually in a dog pound and locking him in there for a month, because the big ass teeth and gums I can't do anymore. Like, please, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's not working for me, man.
Oh shit.
Hey. Freaking CEO cutting a promo on the gums. Titus O'Neil.
Oh, man. God.
Hate versus Titus O'Neil's gums would be better on Raw than what Raw had going on yesterday.
Oh, man. The thing is that they had Titus O'Neil, and I'm sorry, I know this is the Blue Zone, but they had Titus O'Neil in a feud with Rusev, who was the United States champion. And honestly, for the first 2 weeks of that feud, it was booked fine, and they proceeded to just kill it, and then they took anything of him being a tough guy, they took away, and then you bring him back with this whole suit and tie, the Titus brand, the make it a hashtag, make it a win, him delivering horrible ass like, seriously, he sounds, when he's on the microphone, and I may offend a lot of people like this, when Titus O'Neil's on the microphone, he sounds like someone who barely missed out on having Down syndrome, like just a little bit. It's terrible. Like, he is honestly, there's no reason for Titus O'Neil at all to be on TV every week doing that stupid ass gimmick, like that dumbass laugh. Everything about Titus I cannot stand. And as one black man talking about another one, I hate to say that I want to get behind Titus, not just because he's black, but because Titus, you legitimately had a chance to book him and make him a legitimate mid-card, lower mid-card, whatever. You had him to make him look legit, and you proceeded to shoot it in the foot, and then you didn't even have the decency to shoot him in the foot and take him off the TV. You decided to keep putting him on TV every week with this stupid-ass hashtag make it a win shit. Like, no, why? Why, Vince? Why? But
personally,
anyway.
I think as much as I want to say this is creative's fault, I just think Titus O'Neil is just bad. He's just bad. There's no other way to put it. He can't talk. He's got a good power set move, but he's not really technical in the ring. I mean, like you said, his look isn't the best. He's just not... He shouldn't be on television.
I actually disagree with that. I think his look is great. He's a tall dude. I think his look is great. It's just that his mic and he just doesn't have the package, but he would make a great like Diesel or somebody. Just like, you know, put him like in a suit and some sunglasses and just have him be like a bodyguard or somebody, because he's just a big guy. You know, he's a big guy. He has a good look. It's just that he's just not, you know, it's not coming together.
Yeah, I mean,
he needs to be a bodyguard manager for somebody.
Yeah, you know, I agree with Tomko? That.
Yes, I remember Tomko.
I think he'd be great in a Tyson Tomko role, a role like that for Tyler Breeze. He could be a manager for a Tyler Breeze. Just somebody I'm throwing out there. That'd be good for him.
Here's what you do: is you take Titus, you trade him to SmackDown. You put him, since Miz lost the IC title, you get him to be Miz's bodyguard, and then now you just have him just brutally attack people either before, in the middle of matches while the ref's back's turned. Just use that powerful moveset that he has. He doesn't utter a word at all, and then you leave him like that for 6 months to a year, and then eventually you tease the descent. Have him turn face, and we'll probably be right back where the hell we are right now. So there you go. That's why I'm not a booker.
Because then they're gonna have him talk. You just can't have the man speak. Just tell him shut the fuck up and don't smile.
Oh man, let's. I'm sorry. We've completely derailed the Blue Zone, and that's my fault. I apologize. But okay, we had the Hype Bros versus the Ascension, and the winner of this match gets to move on to be a part of the Survivor Series tag match. What I can say about this one is I love the Hype Bros. Like, I'm really, honestly, I love Mojo Rawley when he talks, when he's not in the ring. I think he definitely can, he has potential. He has potential as a wrestler. He's not quite there yet. I love the fact that he's with Zack Ryder. I love their whole gimmick here. But what I want to ask you guys is that have the Hype Bros done anything at all to deserve to even be in contention to be at a, in the Survivor Series match against Raw? JB, your thoughts first here.
Yes, because they don't get hype. They stay hype. No, I'm just kidding. It's absolutely nothing. I can care less about this match. Don't really care much about Hype Bros and Ascension. Ascension was in this match. Done. Drop mic.
And where the hell is Breezango at? Where the hell is Breezango?
Yeah, where the hell is Breezango? For real. Because that's I'd rather see Breezango than Ascension.
Well, the thing is, I would love to see
this 2 weeks in a row. No Usos. What the fuck?
I would love to see the Hype Bros versus Breezango in like a pre-show month-long build or whatever. Because could you imagine just Fandango? I'm tongue-tied. But Tyler Breeze and Fandango, just their reactions to Mojo Rawley, just their facials. Tyler Breeze's facials alone, just looking at Mojo be hype, like that would just make that match to me.
His little snarl that he does.
Yeah, yeah.
He squints his eyes. That is gold. That's beautiful.
But D Will, your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, they deserve to be in this match because who else is there to be in this match? They've only got about six tag teams on the show, and then they need five of them. Let's see, you got, who are they? Hype Bros. Who else is going to be in it? I guess Ascension's not going to be in it.
It's literally going to be every team now other than the Ascension, because they don't have anyone else. Like, what else are they going to do?
Usos.
What about the Usos?
American Alpha. The tag team champions are going to be in there,
yes,
according to Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. So, and I mean, that's
villain,
really it.
Oh, I guess. Fuck.
I forgot all about the VOD villains. I forget that they exist sometimes. Like, it's...
Which is a shame, because they're great.
They are. NXT. Like, and he's married to a damn Guerrero. Like, come on now. Just that alone. That alone. You married a Guerrero. Come on.
Wait, who's married to a Guerrero?
Aiden English is married to Eddie Guerrero's daughter.
Eddie Guerrero's daughter?
Yeah.
She's a babe. She's
exactly.
Man, I didn't even know he had kids that were old enough to be married.
Well, just think about it. Eddie Guerrero's kids, honestly, are D Will's age. Like, that's how long we've gotten around, is that Eddie Guerrero's...
I feel old.
Exactly, right? Exactly. I remember when Eddie Guerrero was the young guy on my TV wrestling Psychosis on Nitro. Like, I remember.
I know.
The Latino World Order, even way before then. Like, it's crazy how old I've gotten.
I know. I know this is not wrestling related, but, like, the other day I was reading an article and I was looking at Eminem's daughter. Like, I remember when she was a little girl, and now she's like a legit full-on babe, which is just crazy. Again, this is not wrestling related, but it's crazy, you know, when you look back how quick time has gone by.
Time flies.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Wasn't Eddie's daughter training at NXT not too long ago? Whatever happened to that?
Who knows? She probably sucked, but yeah, who the hell knows?
I don't care.
You know what would have been,
put her on there because of her last name.
But you know what? But the thing is that would take away from Sasha Banks' gimmick, because Sasha Banks is so just pro Eddie Guerrero. I wonder if that's why it's like, no, you can't mention your father. Sasha Banks does it every week on TV, so we can't sign you. Could you just imagine that? I can imagine Vince doing that to somebody, like just sitting down, like what? No. Sasha Banks misses your dad. We don't need you on TV. Like that would just be it right there.
But that set up a beautiful feud right there. Imagine Eddie Guerrero's daughter. I'm tired of you trying to idolize my father. You'll be nothing like my father. I am the next great Hispanic wrestler. That sets up a feud just right there in itself. But anyway, let's move on to SmackDown.
we this is funny because as good as SmackDown is, we're doing so much talking about stuff other than SmackDown. But hey,
this is supposed to be a Red Zone episode here.
Well, you know what? The Red Zone episode this week, I have to apologize to everybody on that one because the episode of Raw was just so horrible that me and Mimi just literally, we avoided talking about Raw as much as we talked more about Hell in a Cell than we did about Raw on the Red Zone this week. But
it wasn't the go home show for Hell in a Cell.
Yes, it was. You know, the thing is I'm glad I'm not one of those fans who, like, I don't know how many people, if people still bought pay-per-views, that episode of Raw would have killed their buys by at least a fourth, like right there, like that. There's nothing that happened on Raw this week that would make me excited for a pay-per-view at all. If I wasn't just excited,
that's one of the reasons why they're not trying.
Well, that brings up
why they're not trying.
That brings up an interesting topic, which I had talked about with a couple of friends of mine a long time ago when the network was starting, and one of the things I was worried about was would the product on Raw and SmackDown, more so Raw because Raw was the big dude, would it kind of lessen a little bit because now it really, they don't have to sell a pay-per-view. It's on the network. Other than like WrestleMania, where there's, you know, you could really order it on pay-per-view. They don't have to sell a pay-per-view. It could be the worst product in the world, and people are still going to watch it. Who have the network are still going to watch it because you don't have to pay for it. It's just on the network. Yes, people may cancel their subscription, but chances are it's not going to happen. So, I you know, do you think that plays a factor as far as like them not maybe not wanting to put 100% into a particular show, and rather than putting 100% into one particular show, they kind of stretch it out into a couple different shows because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because there's no papers to demand this. He's going to say no because, you know, he's always going to give the generic answer of no because, you know, we were in ratings with everything else on TV. We're trying to be the number one show out there, so blah, 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 blah. But what do you guys think?
Go ahead, D-Will.
I think it's part of it. I think it's definitely part of it. I think they've just grown complacent. And until their subscription numbers drop, they're not going to do anything to change it on television.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just the product that we're in for now because they don't really have to put their best foot forward. They are literally on autopilot. They've been on autopilot.
So I have a conspiracy theory for everyone. What if, and just this is probably not what's going to happen, but this is just me trying to figure out and think as a fan why they would consistently give us bullshit. But what if Vince or whoever else is purposely making Raw terrible so that way that the USA Network, who did ask for Raw to go to 3 hours, will then say, hey, you guys aren't quite doing the numbers that we wanted you to do on prime time. We're going to take an hour away so we can get another show in there. We're going to put you guys back to 2 hours.
This is about the 20th time I've heard you say this, and it looks good on paper, but here's the thing. I guarantee you, if you check, Raw is probably the number one show on USA. And for that reason.
Wait, no,
you know,
no, it's not. No, it's not. Mr. Robot. Mr. Robot's killing Raw.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Is Raw number two though?
I don't know. Let's do a little quick podcasting research. Go ahead and keep going into your theories. I'm looking this up.
Yeah, what I'm thinking
isn't the Puppy Bowl on USA Network? Because that's probably killing Raw right about now.
do you guys remember back in the day when Raw used to be off air for the Westminster Dog Show? Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
Like, yes, how the hell does the dog show go over instead of Raw? I used to be so pissed, like, what the hell? But that was before Raw was live. Raw was taped back then.
Yeah. So I'm looking.
As far as your
right
conspiracy
now,
goes,
go ahead, D-Will.
As far as your conspiracy goes, no, I don't think that they're doing it on purpose because they make too much money off that extra hour for advertisements. I hear they get a lot of money based on that third hour of advertisements, which is what they want. They want more money. They want more advertisers. So they won't. Raw's never going back to 2 hours again. And that's just a shame. Unless they move networks.
And that's the thing.
They got to move networks.
I'm just trying my best to figure out what the hell, like, why? Like, why can you give us a product like SmackDown week after week? And it can't just be a third, if a third hour, adding a third hour is drastically changing the quality that goddamn much, like, come on. Like, it has to be something else. It has to be something else going on. And I know that's been my conspiracy theory for a while, but until I'm proved otherwise, like, I'm just sticking to that. I just refuse to believe that a competent promotion who has given us some of the, just the best stuff, it, at the same time they're giving us some of the worst stuff, like, that they can't get this together, that you can't find a way to just make Raw better. Like, take ratings and everything out of the window. Let's say you're not even considering ratings. Just look at how much better, just from storyline week to week, SmackDown is written than Raw. And why would the owner of that same, the same owner who owns that show, not be able to pull that into their other show? It just does. It's like Shonda Rhimes, who writes for Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder. If How to Get Away with Murder was considered, like, 100 times better written than Scandal, like, people would just be looking at her like, you're not even trying with Scandal anymore. How about you just get rid of the second show and focus on How to Get Away with Murder or something else? Like, I don't understand it. I do not understand it, but, you know, some things aren't for me to understand. You know, hey, Vince also supports Trump, so it is what
you
it
want
is.
You want a conspiracy theory? How about this? What if a few years ago, Vince McMahon was somehow kidnapped, and he's still kidnapped, and it's actually Vince Russo who got plastic surgery that's running things behind the scene? That's a conspiracy theory for you.
No, that's impossible, because then there'd be ratings.
Vince Russo?
Vince Russo equals ratings. When you think Vince Russo, you're probably just thinking about his time in WCW, but this man drew the highest ratings in the Attitude Era. I'm a big Vince Russo mark.
The thing is,
Stone Cold Steve Austin and Vince McMahon.
But wait a second. No, no. If you go back, if you listen to Stone Cold's podcast, he credits a lot of the freedom he was able to give with Vince Russo going to bat for him. Like, Vince Russo was on Stone Cold's podcast, and he said the story, and Stone Cold backed him, that there was, at the time, before he went into the whole Stone Cold Steve Austin thing, Vince Russo went to bat to Vince McMahon and said, hey, give him the chance. Hey, let him talk on the mic. Vince Russo wrote in times for Stone Cold to go out there and have freedom on the mic. There's two Vince Russos, and it depends on what it's. If you give Vince Russo complete control, I think he goes a little bit overboard, hence WCW. Attitude Era Vince Russo, and then also Vince Russo when he went over to TNA, did their highest ratings, WWE and TNA, with Vince Russo as the head writer. He didn't have complete control, but as the head writer, he wrote some of the best storylines for both those promotions, JB. I hate to argue, you know, me and you usually agree, but... Go ahead.
All jokes aside, no, what I'm saying is, all jokes aside, Vince Russo has been okay, but I think what the main thing is, and you kind of touched on it, is Vince Russo has a very creative mind, but I think why he was able to be so successful in the Attitude Era versus WCW and, you know, towards the end of his TNA run is the fact that he had somebody like Vince McMahon there who has, like, an excellent wrestling mind, or had an excellent wrestling mind and vision.
Yeah, I was going to say had.
Had. An excellent vision and wrestling mind, and because of that, they went well hand in hand together. WCW, he didn't have that. He had Eric Bischoff. As good as Eric Bischoff was, he's no Vince McMahon. And, you know, same thing over with TNA with Jeff Jarrett, Dixie Carter, whoever you want to talk about. Vince Russo was good when he was good, but, man, I still think he'll be remembered for all the nonsense and crap that went on in WCW.
Which is unfortunate. Yeah.
Because if I were booking, I probably would have made David Arquette champion too. Honestly, to keep it real with you, I probably done it differently.
How do you have a pay per view? And I want to say it was Halloween Havoc. How do you have a pay per view that right before the main event, like right after the main event begins, the pay per view just goes off air? Like, do you guys remember? Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, D. Will maybe was a little too young
that time, but yeah. Yeah, I wasn't watching that at the time, but I've heard the stories about it.
Who's, my God, that's not
Vince's fault. Who I think they just ran out of time, I guess.
Yeah, they ran out of time. Yeah, they ran out of time.
That happened with WrestleMania this year. People who bought it that weren't buying it on the network, they were actually paying for it on pay-per-view.
Oh,
yeah, what happened to them this year? They didn't get to see Triple H, Roman Reigns.
Yeah, because that shit went on for like 5 hours, I felt, or something close to that.
That pay-per-view, including the pre-show, it was 7 hours. Oof. 7 hours. That is ridiculous. Like, and I watched all of it. Like, and I say it's ridiculous, but yet I'm one of the people who sat here and literally watched the whole thing from start to finish and got up for bathroom breaks and to eat. But other than that, I treated it like I was watching the Super Bowl. Like, I sat there and watched the whole thing. But when you think about it, and then WrestleMania wasn't even that good. You had 7 hours and couldn't put on a good show. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But wow, this is just turning into just the general wrestling talk podcast. Forget the Blue Zone.
I know.
So next, we get Daniel Bryan backstage on the phone when Natalya arrives. She does more complaining, talking about how she should be the captain of the women's team for Survivor Series. Daniel Bryan makes a match. Natalya versus Nikki Bella, the winner will be the captain of the SmackDown Women's team at Survivor Series. So right after that, we get said match. And what I will say is that this has been some of the best work from Natalya I've seen in a while in the ring. Like, it seemed like she's been a little bit lazy. Nikki looked absolutely great here. Great here. She picked up the win on the STF, making Natalya tap out, which then brought out Carmella, who hit the Bella Buster on Nikki Bella. Guys, thoughts on this segment? I thoroughly enjoyed this one. I think this is one of the better ones of the show, in my opinion. But JB, take this one away first. How do you feel about this segment?
Yeah, the match was good. It was one of Natty's better matches as of late. But fuck, man, can we have something different than Carmella sneak attacking Nikki? Can we just do something different for once? I understand what they're trying to do, but oh my god, this is like the third or fourth time this shit has happened. Let's bring something new into it. Don't get me wrong, I love Carmella, you know, her heelish ways and all that, and Nikki, yes, everything is good there, but, and I'm okay with the feud, but, you know, let's inject some new life into it. I feel like it's the same shit that happens over and over and over. Let's do something a little bit different. Don't get me wrong, like I said, I'm enjoying the feud, I'm enjoying the storyline. You know, we're gonna get them again one-on-one, but, you know, I want to see something different. Like, last week was beautiful with Carmella talking about John Cena and, you know, kind of shooting a little bit.
Away.
Right, like a work shoot type of thing. But this week we got more of the same that we got from previous weeks. So
I can say one thing, that if I was around Carmella, I would never, ever, ever, ever let her drop the mic. D Will, your thoughts on this segment?
Does anybody else love Carmella's theme song as much as I do? I just absolutely love it. I'm singing every time she comes out. I'm singing along. I like the little moonwalk she does when she comes out in her entrance.
Do you start dancing?
I wasn't so lazy. Hell yeah. I had to get up and do the moonwalk and probably run into the table or something. But I'm glad. I was surprised to see Nikki use the STFU. I'm still going to call it the STFU. Fuck their PG rules. But now I'm glad there was a stipulation to the match, which gave you a reason to care. I would probably would have thought that Carmella would have cost Nikki the match, and then they have their match at Survivor Series one-on-one. But now Natalya is not going to be in this 5-on-5 Divas match, so now I'm thinking what's their depth really on the Divas roster to fill out those five people?
Yeah, they have
Natalya,
five.
Natalya, Naomi. Well, if they don't have a Divas Championship match at Survivor Series, fine. But I think they should. The championship should always be on the line. But who are they going to put? Lynch, Bliss.
Yeah, it'd be Naomi, Lynch versus Biss. Natalya,
but, so let's just say Lynch fights Bliss.
And where's Eva Marie?
I don't know. She's supposed to be back from suspension by now. So. Who knows? They're probably going to have her just randomly pop. I still say she's going to win that women's title without lifting a single finger when she returns. Just watch.
You know what's going to happen? So they're probably going to have a mystery fifth diva.
I was just about to say that.
Yep.
Yep, and she's going to be that fifth diva, and somehow, some way, she's going to be the sole survivor without doing a thing.
I don't know if you guys remember. I don't know if you guys remember the 1991 Survivor Series opening match. It was, it was like a 4-on-4, a 5-on-5, but Ric Flair was the sole survivor of that match. And how was he the sole survivor? Because the other, like, there was like four people left, two on each team, and Ric Flair. The other four guys got disqualified, and Ric Flair was the sole survivor. So I could see something like that happening with Ava Marie.
Well, there you go. You have the D Will and JB booking.
If you look at that 5-on-5 Divas match, and I'm sorry, I keep calling them Divas. If people are offended by that, whatever. Just find something else to be offended about.
Wow! D Will just buried the Women's Revolution. He just completely buried the Women's
This shit ain't PG.
Between me burying Titus in his gums, D Will just burying the Women's Revolution, like this is gonna be the podcast that either makes us famous or gets us fired, which considering we kind of run our own podcast network here, if we get fired, that's just gonna be sad.
We just lost every woman. Heat, bad heat.
Oh man, all go ahead, D Will, finish off.
The raw side, just based on the Divas that they have over there, looks so much more dominant than SmackDown. So I think by default, SmackDown has to get a win just so they look somewhat competitive to the Divas they have on Raw. Because they got Charlotte, Banks, Bayley, Jax, Fox, Paige. That Brooks, that's a deep Divas roster. As opposed to SmackDown, it looks kind of weak on paper.
Sarah Fields.
What was that?
They also have Sarah Fields.
Sarah, who the hell is that?
She's one of the jobbers I lost to Nia Jax one week.
Oh.
Alicia Fox's friend?
I think so. I don't even know.
Emelina. Like, I can't wait for her to come back.
So good. Oh, my God.
D Will, like, calm down. Are you foaming at the mouth, son?
I'm drooling a little bit.
Let me ask you guys. Let's just say the women on SmackDown have their own match. Who would be the five for the Divas? Or women, or whatever you want to call it, for SmackDown?
Okay, so you
taking
got
Alex and Becky out.
Okay, so we got Nikki Bella. You have Naomi.
What?
Yeah, well, take Bliss out. You have Carmella. You have Eva Marie. If she makes her return, that's
Maryse, maybe.
No,
Tamina. She's supposed to be coming back.
Oh yeah, Tamina's supposed to be coming back. That would be a good one. Yeah, she is supposed. Maybe that's our mystery diva. Our mystery woman. See, you guys got me. We're gonna lose all female. We're gonna send all hate mail to miserywilliams@gmail.com. miserywilliams@gmail.com. Thank you, people.
we're gonna be like on like news networks tomorrow all over. Those three podcasters that don't like women.
The Wrestling World Podcast Network hates women. Like that's all it's gonna be.
Oh man.
Nonetheless, okay. So we moving forward. We get the Miz coming out with the Spirit Squad. Miz talks about we're living in dark times. We're 16 days with Dolph Ziggler being the IC champion. Ziggler then makes his way out to the ring, and says that the fans now have a fighting champion. Miz says that he's not going to accept his rematch. He's not going to take his rematch on Ziggler's terms. He's going to have it when he's ready, and it will be on his own terms. Which, get the damn. Basically, they're just telling us that they're probably going to be waiting to Survivor Series, and they're trying to give us reasons why they're going to be waiting. Next, though, we get a match made, and that is the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, Heath Slater and Rhino versus the Spirit Squad. And wait a second. And not to mention, this was for the tag team titles. I would have sworn that the Spirit Squad, and I was so pissed off just when this match was made, because I'm like, if they put these titles on the Spirit Squad, be prepared for CEO to just get ready to go on one of my just historic rants. But luckily enough, that did not happen. Heath Slater and Rhino go over. D-Will, your thoughts here on this match. Did you enjoy this whole segment with Miz and Ziggler, and also the match that followed?
I think the segment, I think it's just hilarious how he has the Spirit Squad as his paparazzi, his entourage, his posse, just cheerleading for him as he makes his entrance. I just think that's absolutely hilarious. And they're two different gimmicks, but I think they go well together with The Miz, how he is, and he wants people to cheer him and acknowledge him and tell him he's doing a good job all the time. So I think That's a pretty good dynamic between him and the Spirit Squad. The match, yeah, I was kind of scared that the Spirit Squad was going to walk away with these belts. Although I wouldn't have been as upset as you would have been. But it would have been I don't know about a nice surprise, but it would have been a surprise. I was happy to see Rhino hit that hellacious gore on whoever it was. It looked like he knocked his kidney out of the side of
That was an old school gore for sure. Yeah. That was back to the 90s gores there, the late 90s. That was awesome gore. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah, good short match. I'm happy they retained. We'll probably get a rematch or another six-man tag down the line. I really don't know what they do at Survivor Series. I really don't know, because I could also see Miz and Ziggler being put in the 5-on-5 match against Raw, so I really don't know.
JB, thoughts?
So, you know, I said a couple weeks ago, and I've been saying for the past couple weeks, Dolph Ziggler and Miz, in my opinion, have had the best storyline over the last couple weeks. But that is quickly dwindling down right now for me. I understand what WWE is trying to do. They just can't make it be only Ziggler and Miz, because they're going to be feuding for another couple weeks, heading in probably into Survivor Series, as you mentioned earlier. So I understand they need to change things up a little bit, but I'm not feeling the Spirit Squad. I understand they're supposed to be comedic or whatever. It just does nothing for me. I didn't think at all they were going to go over in this match, period. But I mean, like, whose dick does Heath Slater and Rhino have to suck to, like, cleanly pin these guys? I mean, they lost the other, you know, Heath Slater got pinned in the 3-on-3 last week, I believe. This week they win, but it was like, you know, by distraction. They're the World Tag Champs, and it's friggin' Spirit Squad. So I think the focus is being taken away from where it needs to be, which is Miz and Ziggler. I will say, however, I thoroughly enjoyed Miz and Ziggler on the commentator's table and their little back and forth. So I did enjoy that, but I want to see more Miz and Ziggler. You want to give Rhino and Heath Slater and the Spirit Squad their own program? Go ahead, do it. Keep Miz and Ziggler out of it. Let them do their own thing, because they've been doing a damn good job up until this point.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they need to do something. I love Heath Slater and Rhino. I think this has been some of the best booking that Heath Slater's probably ever had in his career. Like, it's just so much fun to see these two guys together. I thoroughly enjoy them, and I want to see them stay a team for as long as possible. Even if they lose those titles, I want to see them stay a team. But please, for the love of God, do not put the titles on the Spirit Squad. Well, you know what? I'd take the Spirit Squad would still be better and make more sense than the Vaudevillians having the title. So, you know, they're being booked right that way.
I do have a question for you guys.
I think the Spirit Squad's going to be the one to take the titles off of them. I think it's going to be after Survivor Series. I think sometime between Survivor Series and TLC, I do think the Spirit Squad will hold the titles. I obviously do.
What if they announced that there'd be and this could possibly work depending on one thing, but what if they said they're going to do a 4-on-4 at Survivor Series? So you have the Spirit Squad, Miz, and for whatever reason Maryse, so it's kind of like a mixed thing, and then on the other side obviously you have Heath Slater, you have Rhino, Dolph Ziggler, and then the fourth person is Beulah. You never know, it depends on what her wrestling abilities are.
Oh man,
she'll be playing Heath Slater's wife.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious. That's just gold booking right there from Jake. This is just, we're just booking the living hell out of WWE right now. Next though is
one quick problem I have is, why is The Miz the only person vying after the Intercontinental Championship? Shouldn't there be other contenders? Where's Corbin asking for his shot? Where's Swagger asking for his shot? Where's Luke Harper trying to get back into the title picture? I don't understand why there's not more people being interjected when they can easily do that and they can find a way to make sense of it.
Can I also just interject real quick? And after we saw Talking Smack last, this is out of the blue, but after we saw Talking Smack last week, it was the first time ever that I got a little bit high on Baron Corbin because of the Talking Smack segment. And where the fuck was he this week?
Exactly. And the thing is that Daniel Bryan said Talking Smack last week that he was going to have something for Baron Corbin this week. And nothing at all. What I was hoping was going to happen, honestly, is that I was hoping that in the main event, Ellsworth is out there on the ringside. I was hoping that he was going to try to distract AJ or whatever else, and Baron Corbin was going to come out and just completely obliterate James Ellsworth. Like, that's what I want Baron Corbin so bad to be AJ Styles' Diesel. I just want that so bad. I just don't know. I want him to shave his head, and I want him to come out there behind AJ Styles and just be that muscle. That's what I want so bad for Baron Corbin. Therefore, it's never, ever going to happen. But I don't know what where
you know
Corbin
is this week. You know what's going to happen? He's probably going to be the one to probably come to Kane's aid when Orton and Wyatt go after him for whatever reason.
You think they're going to turn Corbin face?
Not necessarily a face turn. He's still going to be that demonic, heelish character, but he's just going to be aligning himself with Kane for the time being. Kane will be the face in the tag team, but Baron Corbin, he's going to be himself.
So you're shooting for a Cesaro Sheamus type role between Kane and Baron Corbin?
I didn't even think about that, but yeah, but they're not going to be a legit tag team. They're just going to be trying to fight off these other monsters in the Wyatt family.
Even though with his lone wolf gimmick?
He just cut a promo last week talking about how he has no friends backstage and doesn't want friends. I'm not saying what you're proposing can't necessarily happen because, I mean, this is WWE. They can do anything. But
there's an easy fix to that. You put Baron Corbin with either three of the Wyatt families, whether it be Orton, Wyatt, or Harper. You put them in a match. Kane comes down to make the save. Bada bing, bada boom. As simple as that.
Bada bing, bada boom. Face in the room.
How you doing?
Worst hairline in the room. Seriously, but if anybody, for the love of God, if anybody happens to listen to this podcast who knows Baron Corbin, knows someone Baron Corbin actually does love in real life, anything, please have him shave his head in his sleep. Like, he'll be pissed when he wakes up. You may get punched in the face. You may get your ass kicked. But guess what? You're saving someone from looking like an idiot on TV with that horrible hair. Like, oh my God. His hairline is seriously what as I approach 30, I get afraid of every day when I decide to comb my hair a little bit. I'm afraid that some may come out and I'll look like Baron Corbin. Like, he's the poster child of why you should embrace baldness when you start thinning, because that shit right there,
I like his hair.
What?
D-Will.
I like his hair. I mean,
you have a full head of hair. No, I'm not buying on this one. There's no way in hell you're going to convince me that you like that shit. I know you. I know what type of care you have to put in to maintain that head of hair. I'm not believing it at all.
I mean, the widow's peak is serious, but I dig it. I just wish it looked like he would wash it more often. It just doesn't look washed to me. That's my only problem with it.
Yeah, I agree. He probably hasn't washed in forever. He's like, shampoo, fuck shampoo. I ain't putting him over.
Same with Dean Ambrose lately. Dean Ambrose looking kind of grimy.
Oh, man. I think Dean Ambrose is at the point to where he's afraid to even touch his hair. Like, he's just afraid because every time he probably touches it, he probably loses a good 10 strands. So he's just like, you know what? We're not going to touch it. We're just going to let it do its own thing because that – he's very – I always used to say who has the worst hairline between him and Corbin. It's Corbin by far, but Dean is not that much further behind him, honestly. It's – oh, man. Poor
Renee. Ever since him and Renee started dating, she's been having to keep her hair short. She's got long, gorgeous hair, and now she's cut.
Oh, you think Ambrose is like, you better cut that shit, babe. Cut that shit right now.
Yeah. Cut it, or I'm not going to let you wash it.
Guys, this is not really helping with the women view, listeners either, you know. Are you talking about male dominance?
Oh, God. You know what? We're done. Like, to everyone who's listening to us on FansTalkPodcast.com as well as on our own feed, all I want to do is say, I'm sorry. It's not my fault. As you can see, when D-Will is not around, the women bashing does not happen. So, again, send all hate mail to MiseryWilliams@gmail.com.
I just want to say I love women. Thank you.
I love women too. I'm the biggest Oscar mark there is. Oh. Oscar. I can't wait till she debuts. That's gonna be the bee's knees.
Oh, yeah, man. I remember how excited you used to get when it was Oscar versus Nia Jax. So
oh my gosh.
JB, I that was before your time. I know you.
Yeah, y'all motherfuckers got some weird taste.
Hey, D. Will.
Man, this podcast has totally.
Okay.
Oh, if we had any sponsors, we'd be losing them all right now.
I can't right now. Oh shit!
This podcast has been brought to you by the Oral Bomb that shut down the WZ chat room.
Oh shit! So,
nonetheless, the main event of tonight.
Did you know about the Oral Bomb?
D-Will, that's a conversation for off the podcast, bro.
Off the podcast, yeah, because
oh man,
I'll fight the finisher.
It's the most protected finisher in podcast history, that's for sure. Oh, but nonetheless, okay, AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, JB, your thoughts.
So yeah, I mean the match obviously was a good match, best match of the night. Obviously when Ellsworth was going to be inserted into the match, I knew he'd have some sort of involvement. Kind of surprised with the ending because I thought Dean Ambrose would somehow go over. I thought Ellsworth would help him somehow in winning the match so they can get the title match. So I'm kind of interested to see where this goes now with AJ, because now Dean Ambrose lost his title shot, his number one contendership. I hope they don't do something stupid like, oh, because the match was, you know, it had a, you know, messed up finish, we'll do a rematch next week and you'll get another chance again next week, because that kind of takes, you know, that's anticlimactic. So I'm interested to see where they go with this. And then, you know, you had Ellsworth at the end, no chin music, AJ Styles. So I'm just interested really to see where it goes. The match was okay, easily the match of the night. And, you know, anytime you have a match with AJ Styles, you know it's going to be good. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes. What do you think, Devo?
I, too, was surprised that Dean Ambrose didn't go over. But you got to know that he's going to be number one contender somehow, because they've got literally nobody else.
Who else is there?
And was that?
Who else is there?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's nobody else to contend with AJ for the championship. Cena's on hiatus, and everybody else is doing something else. Otherwise, I'd probably say Randy Orton. So, yeah, Ambrose, I don't know, maybe a triple threat match. Ambrose, Ellingsworth, and Styles. Who knows? I really don't know how they're going to get out of this one, but hopefully they are creative. tonight. That was a pretty creative ending, and I didn't see that coming whatsoever. I just didn't like how long it was for them to ring the damn bell. Referee's looking at Dean Ambrose for 20 seconds and then looking at Styles for another 10 and looking at Ellingsworth for another 15, looking at the crowd. He shook some baby's hand. He kissed Michael Cole and then he rang the damn bell. He should have just hurried up and did it. That took way too long.
Yeah, when you mentioned the ending there is that I thought that maybe he was going to kick Ellsworth and then restart the match. That's what I thought may have happened because, yeah, I've never seen a referee take that long to disqualify somebody for interference. Like, why? Why the long look? It's like he was surprised that it's like he looked at Ellsworth and was like, who's this fan who just came here and super kicked AJ Styles?
No, I think what it was, though, guys, I think they were doing that so they could get that shock feel, not necessarily for us, but what you were seeing on screen. Because if you notice, they like went to a shot of the referee, and then they went to a shot of Dean Ambrose, whose jaw was just dropped, and then they went to a shot of Ellsworth, who also like he was like, "Oh, what the fuck did they just do?" So I think that's why they kind of prolonged it to get that little 10 second segment in to show everybody's reaction, because in the upcoming weeks, we're going to continue to see that again. I mean, on Talking Smack, I believe they showed it, and we're probably going to see it again next week. So I think they wanted to make time just to get that in there before they actually called the match.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense when you look at it that way. One thing I do want to point out here, though, is that AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose can continue to just put on really, really solid matches when they're in the ring together. I enjoy, even though there's no one else to feud over this world title right now, I find myself enjoying each one of their matches, just that a little bit and a little bit and a little bit more. And also their characters' interaction, like it makes sense. And this is where WWE on SmackDown continues to do things that, you know, they take what we expect and they do it in a completely different way. I did not expect AJ to win here. I completely expected Dean Ambrose to win. And the fact that Styles won and then he got super kicked with no chin music, but still was the one who went off SmackDown went off the air, and he had a big, huge shit in and grin on his face was just gold there. And I'm loving AJ as a heel. Just everything here in this main event was just fun. It wasn't the best match possible, I think, AJ and Dean could put on, but not every match is meant to do that. Wrestling is supposed to be entertaining, and this match very well did that. It completely had me entertained and engaged, and I love the story they're telling and, you know, everything there. And guys, we've said we're going to start reviewing Talking Smack as well. We've gone very long here, so we're going to actually forego talking about Talking Smack this week, unfortunately. But I do want to get everybody's ratings. JB, first, your rating for SmackDown 1 through 10 for tonight.
I feel like I give this rating every week on every show, but I'm going to have to go with the 6.5. 6.5, maybe 7. No, 6.5.
6.5, D-Will, your rating for tonight.
I'm going to go 6. I was debating between 5 and 6, but I'll go 6 just to be nice.
I am going to give this one a 7. And not because of the wrestling necessarily, but I'm giving it a 7 because I enjoyed everything on the show. There was not one thing on the show that I just really looked at and was like, you know, I really didn't need this. Even the Hype Bros versus the Ascension, I enjoyed for what it was, because I enjoy the Hype Bros.
At least that match had a purpose.
Exactly. Right. Like they made it have a purpose, and that's what SmackDown does. Everything feeds into something else. Usually they have no filler pretty much from week to week. They've hit that sweet spot of knowing how to fully use their 2 hours to the benefit to where it pushes every storyline forward. And if for some reason there's a storyline that's not touched on the week on SmackDown, it's usually highlighted in a very big part of the show the next week. So I completely love SmackDown's writing. I just fall in love with it. I'm rating it a 7. So that is, I mean, what is there anything else before we close? Is there anything else you guys want to talk about left over from the show this week?
Yes, I love and respect women.
Oh, man.
Speaking of women, and I know that as far as the theme of the night has gone, I'm not looking too favorable in the female demographic. But I think that this upcoming Hell in a Cell match between Sasha Banks and Charlotte is going to blow.
Really?
I think it's going to be all... I think from what I expect out of a Hell in a Cell match... From what I've seen,
you're determined to us to lose all the damn women listening. I mean, base. God,
like Jesus Christ, D-Will's like Women's Revolution. What?
He already buried it. He completely buried the Women's Revolution. But go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off, D-Will. Go ahead.
Listen, I love the women. I love, you know how I feel about Naomi and Asuka and Nia and all them. But look, the history of Hell in a Cell has taught me violence, destruction, chaos, bloodshed, and what Sasha Banks and Charlotte have seen, what I've seen from them is just high-flying athleticism and botches. I don't anticipate their Hell in a Cell match being anything more than what we've seen just inside the structure. When you are in that structure, you need to use the structure. And I haven't seen these divas use any kind of weapons whatsoever in any of these matches. How are they going to put themselves through that type of pain and torment and destruction without the utilization of weapons? I don't see them using any weapons in this match. I would be 100% shocked if they do. I'll probably eat my own foot if they do, because that's how much I'm sure they're not going to use them, even though they should, because it's a Hell in a Cell match. I don't want a regular wrestling match inside of a Hell in a Cell, which is what I think we're going to get, which is why I'm not looking forward to this matchup.
Well, can I say this? Usually when we have like a gimmick type of pay-per-view like this coming up, or like a Royal Rumble, maybe Survivor Series, I like to get into the habit of watching some older events like this. So actually in the last couple of days, I've watched Triple H versus Cactus Jack. I believe that was No Way Out 2000. I saw Mankind and Undertaker. Everyone knows that, King of the Ring 98. And I saw Edge and Undertaker. I don't remember what event it was, but I saw those last. Yes, you're right. SummerSlam 2008, I believe. So I saw those three matches recently, and those three matches had the same common thing. And it was all just like D-Will said. It was brutal. You had blood in most of those matches. You had crazy drops, just crazy stuff. But what people have to keep in mind is those days, unfortunately, are long gone. We're in the PG era, or whatever era you want to call it, the reality era. Those days are over. So we're not going to get those type of matches. However, what I think we see out of Sasha and Charlotte is, for the norm now and the standards that are set now, I would say over the last 5 to 10 years, I think we're going to get above average Hell in a Cell match. Not something that's been around, like, you know, I'm talking about back in the Attitude Era or years ago from the era I'm talking about, but more so look at it for over the last 5, 10 years. It's going to be an above average match. And because I think both of these women are going to just give it their all. I mean, I think Sasha's going to be, you know, throwing herself all over the place, and they're going to go all out because this is their time to shine. And this is pretty much their WrestleMania right here. I think that's how they should feel, and I think that's how they look at it. So I think we're going to get a good match out of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to get an awesome match. I think overall the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view has the potential to just be really, really good. And God, I hope, bro, just please don't ruin my Sunday, like, with that bullshit. Just please do, just, oh, God, don't make D-Will right, because if you make D-Will right, he's going to come on this damn podcast next Tuesday, and he's just going to get, just, oh, God, I don't even want to just think about it. But nonetheless, guys, I want to thank you for coming in and reviewing Blue Zone, and on this extra-long episode, I want to thank D-Will for, even though he's killed all of our women supporters, just thank you for bringing your unique outlook on things here. You know, guys, all jokes aside, unorthodox. Unorthodox, of course, not to make it too sentimental, I have a ton of fun just talking with you guys wrestling. I couldn't pick anybody else to just talk wrestling with. And, you know, our conversations, I hope that you can – you get more fun out of the Blue Zone now, which is definitely what the changes kind of – I wanted there is the more fun to be in the Blue Zone. But you guys, I can imagine us sitting back and talking wrestling like this, not even having a podcast. And that's originally what the Wrestling World Podcast Network was supposed to be around. So I just want to thank you guys. But I also want to thank Andrew. Thank Mike and Jason over at Strong Style Central. I want to thank JB, Mimi, who isn't here with us right now reviewing the show. Just everyone in the Wrestling World Podcast Network for everything they have done and continue to do to help grow this network. And also just bring kick-ass opinions here. You know, we WWPN is a group full of people who aren't focused on getting themselves over. Even though I'm on, God knows I'm on too many podcasts on this network, it's not about me. It's not about getting CEO Hayes followers. It's not about getting my name out there. It's all about the network. And I think we're all focused on that. And we all have our eyes on the bigger picture on making something great together and it not being about any one of us. And I just want to thank you guys for that. I want to thank everybody on the network for that. Like I said, I don't want to make it all sappy, especially after how much fun we've had on this and how many laughs I'm sure everybody's enjoyed here. But I want to thank you guys. I also want to thank our supporters. JB, tell the people where they can find you.
You just said we're not trying to put ourselves over. Now you want me to give up my Twitter? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. You could tweet me at WWPNJB. Also, just really quick, I just want to plug this weekend will be our premiere episode of Throwback, which you've been talking about over the past couple weeks. It's going to be myself and CEO Hayes will be reviewing my favorite Royal Rumble, which is Royal Rumble 1992. So please have a listen to that. It'll be coming out this weekend. Also, I just want to go ahead and say as well, I have my Hell in a Cell predictions that I'll be releasing on YouTube that will be coming out tomorrow. We're trying to add to our YouTube content. And as the days, weeks, months go by, we'll continuously be adding more and more content. So, you know, I'm going to have my Hell in Cell predictions. And it's just the beginning to the amazing content that we're going to be having.
D-Will, tell the people where they can find you at.
You could find me on all social media platforms at Misery Williams. No space. If you need help figuring out how to spell it, do not follow me. that's where you could call me a sexist pig, send me hate mail, and tell me you love me all at the same time, and I appreciate all of it.
And you can follow me at CEOHAIZE, but more importantly, don't follow me, follow the Wrestling World Podcast Network, and that is at Russell World without the O cast on Twitter. Also, send us any feedback to the WrestlingWorldCast@gmail.com. Also, be on the lookout for our website. And I know, I just said let's not put people over, but JB, honestly, has completely taken this website by the head, put it in a chokehold, and made it his bitch. He's just completely just taking the head here, and I just want to say I'm appreciative to him. So it's not – if you go to that link right now, you're going to be treated to a beautiful – coming soon page, but you know, we plan on that being live here within the coming days. Definitely, I would think by the weekend, but be on the lookout for that. That's going to completely change the game for us. Also, like JB said, our YouTube page, that's the Wrestling World Podcast Network on YouTube. Shouldn't be too hard to find there. Just look out for us. The WWPN is growing and we are adding more content. We're also going to have specific content. You're not going to be able to find this show over on YouTube. No, we want you to subscribe to the podcast to get that. But we, for those of you who want to add a little more depth and a little more to just getting to know us one-on-one, that's where you're going to get some of that YouTube content. We're going to have round tables there. We're already considering doing one in a reaction to what we get from the women's Hell in a Cell matches, seeing if it lives up to the hype, and also what it means for the women's division going forward after it happened. So, you definitely want to check that out. Be on the lookout for that. That's like I said, it's going to completely change the game for us. And then also, you also want to check out what we have now, and that is a phone number where you can leave us voicemail and you can interact with us. Also, I'm going to figure out how to, once we get back to doing live MixLRs, how to do live call-ins and all that. It's going to be amazing. But as the man himself, I'm going to let JB go ahead and hype this because he is the lovely voice you would hear on that voicemail. So, JB, go ahead and tell the people a little bit about our phone number.
Yeah, so we basically have a phone number. You know, again, like CEO was saying, we have a lot of great shows. You know, we have the NJPW show. We have Andrew with NXT. So what we've done is we set up this phone number. It's basically a voicemail. You can leave any questions, comments, concerns, any feedback, whatever you like. And just when you call, you leave your message and, you know, who your message is geared towards, a particular host or a particular show. And who knows, maybe you'll hear yourself one day on the air. So absolutely, let me go ahead and give you the number. The number is 1-516-888-WWPN. Again, it is 516-888-WWPN. So give it a call anytime, and we'll go ahead and listen to what you guys have to say.
Yeah, and if you're calling to leave hate mail for D-Will, make sure you say at the beginning that this is for D-Will. I was just going to say something about that. and so, but, you know, we've had a lot of fun tonight, guys. Thank you for, you know, listening throughout this whole podcast. For those who stuck throughout the whole hour and a half podcast, this is, as I like to end every show, I want to send a thank you out to our listeners and supporters. Also, leave reviews, even if they're not 5 stars. Tell us what we can do to get better if they're not 5 stars. But leave us reviews wherever you get our podcast. Soon, we'll have the website up, and you can leave comments there as well. So, if there's nothing else, guys, let's go ahead and tell the people good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good dream.
Peace.
If these niggas thought about they self for a change, then maybe they could finally figure out how to get themselves some change. I done seen jealousy make niggas do 10 terrible things. Had a song going that with hope, oh yeah, should've never changed. That's so hurry though, we are the champions. Spend a lot of time in Hampton, do a lot of beats, you can't be young. Damn, all these fans can't be wrong. Damn, B.I.G., you can't be gone. Make those beats thugs wanna rock. Make a nigga feel just like pop. Make it street, but it just might pop. Make it straight to the mountaintop. Had to shout on lock when they finally heard a sound with rock. Came in the game, changing the game, changed straight from game, yeah. If you're feeling this here, then your fucking hands in the air.
It's the Rockefeller label, baby, it's the mother labels, baby. And we've been ducking shots from all them haters lately. We getting paper, baby, the mother's trying to keep up. We on top, so I guess we they savers. Nope, we labeled as the Rockefellers. Jacob, watch us, colors everywhere, hell yeah. Test us in the game, just blow, fuck they hating folk. Don't make me pop a fella, rock a fella, stop a fella, could get hop a fella, see?
What? Don't make me chop a fella, have to call a cop for fellas or the helicopter fellas. I'm a Rockefeller, one nigga for Rockefeller, shit, I'm a Rockefeller.
Dang!
Goddamn, Beans, I got this, let me talk my shit one time.
No, we the illest niggas, realest, I will kill these niggas.
And that's what the fuck I'm talking about. And you wonder why I'm proud of my family? And you wonder why I ain't got a rap? I got niggas that will assassinate you, B. Lyrically, really shut you the fuck down. Don't get your career ended. Leave us the fuck alone, let us rock. We are rock music. With the R,
I'm here, Dame.
O-C,
I'm here,
power.
Killer, this is your fate. How I would sit on the crate, listen to tapes. Every day a frisk was at stake. Chicks, cuffs, risk getting raped. My mission was straight to visit them states near them great Michigan lakes. And fuck a bathroom, my piss on the gate. Flip the bird out of flip a bird, switch up my plates. I got plans that was better than jail. Now look, we like Bird Parish, Kevin McHale. Scott, Worthy, Jabbar, and Magic. Oh my God, it's magic. Isaiah, Dumars, I will carve your casket. Phil, Scotty, and Mike. Phil, Shaq, and Kobe. My gas will detach your homie. And I'm friends with thugs. I sell endless drugs. For the Rock fam, dog, I extend my love. Jay Bleek.